The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody. I don't know about you, but I feel a little strange and Brother Tim isn't here. So if I act a little strange, this will be one day when I actually have an excuse for it. And you can bear with me and please pray for me this morning. I'd ask you to turn with me to 1 Peter. We're going to read the last verse of the first chapter and the first three verses of the second chapter. And while you're turning there, perhaps going over these might explain to you today why we put so much emphasis on the preaching service in the Old Baptist Church. You may, if you've ever wondered, you know, we usually have about an hour and a half service on most Sundays, and Wednesday night services are fairly similar to that in that we sing and then we will take prayer requests and pray, and then we usually reserve most of the time for the preaching of the gospel. I'd like to look at today for a little while at least one reason why we do that. And this also, perhaps wrapped up in this subject, is an explanation of why, though we're trying to preach this, we always need your prayers, because, of course, we stand before you as just sinful men, saved by grace, but certainly not perfect in any way. Yet. We'll be when we get to heaven, but not yet. So bear with us. 1 Peter, the first chapter, the 25th verse. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Peter spends the first chapter, most of that, explaining to you what the Lord has done for you in eternal sense. He tells you that you were redeemed with His precious blood. He tells you if you call on the name of the Lord, to call on Him with fear and trembling here in this life, and to seek to be holy as He is holy. And in the second chapter, he's going to spend a good bit of that chapter telling you about the church and how we should act in the church. And these few verses here in between are basically telling you about one of the things, important things that we do in the church, and that is the preaching of the gospel. And he's letting you know that the word of the Lord, and here in this context in verse 25, he's not so much talking about the word of the Lord in terms of the living spirit of God, but he's really referring here primarily, I think, to the written word and to the Lord's words as we have them written to us. And he's letting us know that that is our spiritual food. The Lord, you know, so many times reveals spiritual concepts to us and compares them to natural concepts. We all know what it's like to eat. We know what it's like to get hungry. We know what it's like perhaps to suffer with hunger and to feel the relief of finally getting something to eat. And the Lord is, He likens the spiritual longing that we have for His Word to that natural hunger so we can understand it. And here He tells us that the gospel is preached to you. And in chapter 2 He says, think about it this way, as you're coming into the church to hear the gospel, we're supposed to lay aside these other things and as newborn babes just cry out for the milk of the word that we need. You know, during the week, when we're not at church, we cry out for a lot of things. Some of us go to work, and when we do that, we're really crying out for a paycheck, are we not? Or we wouldn't be there very long. Not that work is always miserable. I'm blessed to work with some wonderful people. But I have a commitment with myself, an agreement with my wife, that I will not call in on a Monday morning. Because, you know, if I could easily get in the habit of doing that, I don't know about you, but I'd probably start calling in every morning, Monday morning, if I could. Because, you know, I compare the spiritual things that we experience on Sunday, and then I get to thinking about the earthly things that I'll face Monday morning, and there's an inclination not to go. As I said, I work with some wonderful people, but still, the week gets tiring. So when we come into the worship service, we're to lay aside all malice. That would be like hatred or ill feelings toward other people. And all guile, that's sneakiness. We're to lay that aside. And hypocrisies. You know, some people will point fingers at the Christians and say, well, I don't go to church because they're, you know, that church is just full of hypocrites over there. And I've heard it said in response to that criticism in the past, well, just come on over. One more won't matter. But, you know, the reality is that no matter how righteously we try to live between Sundays, between Wednesdays, we kind of get drugged down and we're sinners. And sometimes, I don't know about you, I'll just speak for myself this morning and confess this to you if it helps you any. I say things during the week I shouldn't say. And I have to apologize for those things. Sometimes I have to apologize to my family, sometimes to my coworkers, you know, because I'll get, you know, in the spirit on a Sunday and everything's going great. And then about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday starts to roll along somewhere in there. And somebody says something to me they shouldn't say. And I get an attitude I shouldn't have. And the next thing you know, I said something I shouldn't have said. Have you ever done that? And I'm hypocritical. You know, I proclaim to be a Christian. Something comes out of my mouth that shouldn't ever been in my mouth to begin with. Or I see my father-in-law kind of chuckling back there. He used to say, "Now I won't say it, but if you write it down, I'll sign it." You ever felt that way? I felt that way. The thought is sometimes as bad as the word. We get that way during the week, don't we? We just need to leave that at the back door. Ask the Lord for forgiveness and come on in here and lay aside the envyings and the evil speakings, which would include, you know, your cussing and your anger and all those sorts of things that I know I've been guilty of. We need to leave that at the door. We ask the Lord for forgiveness and come on here and cry out for something else. What are we crying out for when we come into the sanctuary, into the church? We're to be crying out for the milk of the Word. That's why we devote a lot of time to preaching of the Word. Because the Word is something that the Lord gave us. It was inspired by God. It was written down by men of old as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord has preserved it for us. For the last, some of it is, you know, 3,000, 4,000 years old. And the most recent parts of it were written some 2,000 years ago, and we still have it today. It's still speaking to us today. It was one of the great, blessed, good gifts that God gave us. And the Lord doesn't mind when we cry out as newborn babes for the milk of His Word. He is more than happy to give it to us. Think about how a baby acts when you bring it home from the hospital. Most of you have either had a baby or you've helped it take care of a baby, perhaps, a niece, nephew, something like that. When you bring a baby home and you feed them and you change them and you wrap them up and they're dry and warm and you lay them in their crib and 3 hours later they start crying, you know what they're crying for, right? They've either wet their diaper or they're hungry again. You know they're not over there in the crib crying because they don't have a new car. That would be absurd, right? I mean, for a newborn baby, you know, mom goes over there, little baby's crying, she picks it up and looks at it, aw. She's just crying because her little friend at daycare got a new crib and she didn't get one. That's not why she's crying. Why is she crying? Because she's hungry, right? The Lord wants us to come before Him like that, I think. Now, it's not wrong to bring your requests and your needs before the Lord, but the Lord doesn't want you to just every day be crying out for more stuff. So He wants you to come before Him as a newborn babe crying out for food. I need food, Lord. I'm a baby. I know nothing. I need spiritual food. And He compares it to milk, I think, on purpose. Because we understand milk a little bit. Let's think about milk for just a few minutes today. When a newborn baby cries out, you know what they're asking for. They need you to change them, or primarily they want something to eat. And they don't need a steak, you know that. They don't need a hamburger. They need some milk. Because milk is something that's a nutritious substance that helps them grow. It's something they can digest. Now, if you think about it, the Word of the Lord is really like that to us. We serve a God that cannot be fathomed by mortal flesh. You know, sometimes when I'm out at night, you know, just doing something as mundane as taking the trash up to the top of our hill, which, you know, leaves me sort of worn out by the time I get up there. And, you know, I'm walking back down the hill on a clear night, and I look up and there's no lights out there, and you just see these stars. Sometimes I just stand there in awe and I think, what a small wormish molecule I am in light of all that. Do you ever feel that way? It's kind of like a little baby can't digest naturally steak and chicken and potato. They don't even know what that is, right? But their mother can eat all that stuff. And I don't mean to be crass this morning. And her body condenses that into some nutrient-rich, potent matter called milk that sustains that baby for the first year or so of their life and provides all the nutrients they need, all the antibodies they need to protect them and help them grow. I drank some milk this morning. I have no idea which cow it came from, probably somewhere in Wisconsin, who knows? And Lord only knows, really, the Lord literally only knows how much grass that cow had to eat to make that gallon of milk in my refrigerator. But that milk doesn't look anything like grass. It doesn't taste anything like water. And yet I know that a cow somewhere ate a bunch of grass or hay or grain and drank some water and converted that into something that could nourish me. And see, the Lord takes His eternal essence that we could never really comprehend in our mortal minds, in our little, small, newborn baby minds. Oh, we've been born, born of the Spirit to have even a desire for His Word. But we can't completely understand Him. But He condenses a lot of that majesty and a lot of that glory into what we call the Bible, something that we can understand about Him. And we can come to church and we can drink that milk and hopefully grow thereby. You see, it's like the cow eating the grass and taking that grass and something that I can't digest, I can't eat, I can't really fathom, and converting it into something that can nourish me. The Lord takes an unfathomable amount of His majesty and power and glory and has condensed it into something that we can read. What a treasure that is. I think about somebody that maybe lived right after the fall that was walking around, you know, one of Adam's children or grandchildren that didn't have the Bible. And they could look up at the heavens and they could see the same stars we see and be amazed by the same God that we serve. And if they were born again, have a desire for that same God and yet understand almost nothing about Him. Why? Because they didn't have the milk of His Word back then. A lot of them didn't. They didn't have it written down. It's such a treasure and it's so precious to have. Let's talk just a little bit about it today. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. When the Lord hears one of His little children cry out for the sincere milk of His Word, I believe it is His desire to fulfill that hunger. I think that's why a lot of us, I hope that's why we all come to church. That's certainly why a lot of us come, is so we can be fed from that milk. And He says here that we should desire it, and that it should be the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So this is for born-again children of God who desire Him and have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So how do I know if I'm getting the sincere milk, Brother Neil? Well, one thing I'll tell you about the sincere milk is when you taste it, and we're speaking in a spiritual sense here. You know, he uses a simile here as to describe for us what the Word of God is like. It is like, or it is as, milk. When you taste the sincere milk of the Word, you know what it all tastes like? It all tastes like Jesus. If it's something that makes you tremble in your boots and makes you scared of your Savior and makes you look at your Savior like He's some far-off being that doesn't care about you and is waiting to just strike you dead, that's probably not the sincere milk of the Word. The sincere milk of the Word ought to make you look up and fear Him in a respectful way, but in a way that causes you to love Him and to be thankful for what He's done and to understand that your Heavenly Father is a good parent. He loves you. He went to the cross and died for you. And when you get in the middle of the week and you find yourself being a hypocrite, like I find myself sometimes, you ought to be able to look back to the milk you drank on Sunday and say, you know what? I know I'm a worm and I don't deserve Him. But look what He gave me last week. He must love me. He must care about me. He must want to nourish me. He must want me to grow up to be somebody that would serve Him. See, it ought to tell you about Him. The sincere milk ought to taste like Jesus. It ought to taste good, and it should be nourishing. It should be something sincere and something real. Y'all ever drink any of this fake milk that they make now? I'm going to get a little bit of a soapbox here. This is, I hope, useful to illustrate a point, but it really doesn't have anything to do with the Bible directly. Forgive me for a moment. Unless you're lactose intolerant and you have a real problem with milk, I'm just going to tell you from a medical standpoint, milk is really good for you. Now, if you're struggling with your weight, you probably ought to stick with skim milk. But listen, I don't believe for a minute that any of these man-made milk substitutes that they came up with are any better than real milk. Have you ever looked at the ingredients on a carton of milk? You know what it says? Milk, vitamin D, vitamin A. Go look at the ingredients on the next carton of almond milk that you buy. Yeah, it's going to have almonds in there. And it's going to have water, but it's going to have a bunch of other stuff in there. You don't even know what it is. You tell me what carrageenan is. Anybody know what carrageenan is? It's some sort of a solid that they derive from corn to make something syrupy like water have the consistency of milk. Yeah, anybody ever have a drink of Yoo-hoo? No, not Yahoo. Some of you are thinking, you can't drink Yahoo. That's that internet company that's done everything they could to go bankrupt in the last 10 years, even though they're worth billions of dollars. No, I'm talking about Yoo-hoo. A Yoo-hoo is a chocolate milk drink. They also used to have one called Chocolate Soldier when I was a kid. And for you newlywed ladies that don't know a lot of recipes, I'll give you a free recipe this morning. The perfect tasting breakfast that you can come up with is a 12-ounce Yoo-Hoo and 12 peanut butter crackers. It may not be the most nourishing, but it's mighty good. But you know what? Yoo-Hoo and almond milk are not real milk. Did you know that? They're made up of a lot of substances that are put together to try to convince you that they're milk. Real milk comes from a living being, like a cow, goat, sheep, human, whatever. And it is all of the good stuff that God gave that being to eat that's condensed down into something real nutritious. Man just can't fabricate it. We try, but we just can't. Let me tell you, the sincere gospel is like that. It doesn't come from men. It comes from the Lord. And it is the distilled essence of His written word in combination with, hopefully, some of His Spirit. So it nourishes you in a way that the fake stuff can't nourish you. And you know what it tells you to do? It tells you to grow up in the Spirit and cry out for more of it. You know, I compare the sincere milk of the Word to some of the, I'm going to try to be kind, but some of the fake milk that's out there in a spiritual sense. You know, sometimes I hear some of the preaching on, you know, I hear some of the preaching on the radio. Sometimes my podcast won't work on my phone, and I'm driving to work, and I'm trying to listen to maybe a sermon from one of the old Baptist brothers, because that always charges me up and makes me feel better. But maybe I can't get that. So I'm driving down the road, and I listen to maybe one of the prosperity-type gospel preachers on the radio. And you know what? When I hear that, I think of, I don't taste sincere milk. I taste Yoo-Hoo. I taste something that makes you kind of feel good for a while. It gives you a sugar buzz, but it doesn't make you grow. Because you know what it tells you to do? Cry out to God for more stuff. You know what the sincere milk of the Word tells you? Cry out for God. Cry out for your Savior. Because He's listening. And when He hears you little newborn Christian cry from the crib, He says, hey, here's some more of the sweet, honest milk that you need, and it'll help you grow. So when you're looking for the sincere milk, what is sincere milk? Well, it ought to taste like the Lord. It ought to be truth. It ought to be grace. Because what He tells you here in verse 1 is we should be laying aside all envy. We should be laying aside all guile. We should be laying aside all evil speakings. And the sincere milk of the Word will encourage you in that. So sincere milk of the Word, it'll taste like the Lord. It'll be something sweet and good with no regret with it. It won't be something that's fake. And another characteristic of the sincere milk, and He says it here, is it will help you grow. You know, it'd be a real tragedy if a mother tried to raise up her baby on Yoo-Hoo's from the gas station. The baby might grow, but it's not going to thrive real well, right? It needs the real thing or something very much like the real thing. I think we do too. It needs to be sincere. It's to help us grow. If you turn with me to Matthew, the 18th chapter, the Lord tells us something about the kingdom of God. And entering into the kingdom of God, in one sense, you enter into the kingdom of God in an eternal way when you're born again. But there's a timely way in which we enter into the kingdom of God when we come to church, when we come to hear His word. Amen. And the Lord tells us something about that. We just read in 1 Peter how He says, you know, lay aside your guile and your hypocrisy and your envying and all those things. You know, the worship of the Lord is not about feeding the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and just asking the Lord for more like material things to satisfy those things. The worship of the Lord is to be grateful as a little child is grateful when the mother comes in there and feeds the newborn baby and that newborn baby is satisfied and has that milk. They're good for a little while. You know, it enriches them. They start to grow, and hopefully as they grow and mature, you know what they do if they're being trained right is they grow up in a gratitude for that parent. They grow up into a child that appreciates that parent came and fed them and gave them good things to help them grow. Is that not the way we all want our families to grow up? I mean, we want them to grow up and be grateful. We want them to grow up and be thankful and appreciative. And the sincere milk of the Word, I believe, will help us do that. It'll help us think of ourselves less and think of Him more. In Matthew 18, we read this about people coming into the kingdom of heaven. In verse 1, at that time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And I think the disciples maybe they were asking for the wrong reasons, but there might have been some of them that just really wanted to be the best servant they could be. Some of them might have had a heart when they asked that question of, Lord, what can I do to just be the best servant? What can I do to be the greatest, the one who does the most for you? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now he didn't say you wouldn't wind up in heaven in an eternal sense. But if you want to participate in the kingdom of heaven now, that kingdom that Jesus was preaching about, his church, and maybe even have the kingdom of heaven bleed over into your home, and maybe possibly somehow, maybe out in your work world or wherever you are, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of heaven in that way, there's some things you have to do. You have to be converted. And he said, become as little children. Remember, little children, little babies, they're crying out for milk. They're not crying out for big stuff. They're crying out for that nourishment from the Lord. And little babies are not afflicted with envy, are they? They're not afflicted with guile and malice. They're satisfied with simple things. He said, I want you to be like little children. Except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. You know, I know that we do as much as we can here in the Old Baptist Church to stick with the Bible, but occasionally maybe a quote or something's okay. And I read one the other day that really kind of set the tone for me in terms of what humility is. And it was by C.S. Lewis. And he said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking about yourself less. I mean, if you want to be like a little child, you want to enter into the kingdom, enjoy the kingdom, be blessed with the sincere milk of the word, you know, sitting around and just thinking less of yourself, oh, I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I'm just, you know, that'll make you feel sorry for yourself. I think Brother Lewis was right about that, even though he probably wouldn't agree with us on some other things, is the best way is just don't think about yourself. As little newborn babes, we're laying aside malice, and we're laying aside envy, and we're laying aside guile. We're thinking about the Savior. We're feasting on the food the Savior gives us. And I believe if we learn to love that milk, a time will come when we've grown on that milk where we'll appreciate some meat too. But you know, I find myself as a child of God, maybe I'm not a newborn Christian anymore. I mean, I have loved the Lord as long as I can remember, and I know I only love Him because He loved me first. So I think that I've maybe had His Spirit in my heart for a long time. But I find myself having to go back as a little child. Do you do that? Sometimes I get worldly and I find myself getting choked on meat, getting choked on the good things of life, and I just have to back up and say, you know what, Neil, you're not as big as you think you are. You need to go back to the cradle, and you need to cry out for some of the sincere stuff. You need to cry out for some of the good stuff again, and you need to see yourself as being very, very small. Or you just might be missing some of the kingdom. Back over in 1 Peter, the second chapter. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I'd just like to make a couple points in closing about that. If you look up the sincere milk of the word there, you know, word is used a little further up. In the sense of the rhema, the spoken word, or maybe even the written word in verse 25. But here, word there really refers to the word of the mind. You know, we know when we come into the church, other than over at the lunchroom, we're not eating physical food. It's spiritual food, and it is to be spiritual food that encourages the mind of Christ that is in you. Some of the milk of the word tells us, in Ephesians, the second chapter, that we were quickened when we were dead. In other words, you might say, in your experience, the first thing that the Spirit of God did for you was give you spiritual life. That's when you were born spiritually. And he says you were quickened, whereas in time past you walked according to the course of this world, and were by nature the children of wrath. And he said we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. But when we're born again, as children of God, and we're given His Spirit, and we become born into the kingdom of God as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Word. The sincere milk of the Word is the Word of the mind of Christ. And you read that, and I'll read it to you if I can get it in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. We quote from this a lot, but we usually quote from the 14th verse. But the Lord tells us something here that's real important for us to understand when we're deciding what to feed our minds and feed our hearts. He says this in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, in the 16th verse. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? You know, it is not the mind of an appropriate, functioning, well-trained child to be telling their parents what to do, is it? You all know that. You not get your head up a little bit and get irritated when your kids start telling you what to do? I do. It usually doesn't go over very well. It usually doesn't last very long until I'm able to correct them and show them that they're not the boss. You know, I'm the boss, and that's just the way it is in our house. So we're not out here as newborn babes telling the Lord what to do and instructing Him. But He says this, but we have the mind of Christ. If we're born again, we have the mind of Christ. And if you want to look at what sincere milk of the Word is, it'll be sincere. It'll be the real thing. It'll be the gospel that tells you that you're saved by grace, that you were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that you were redeemed by Jesus Christ on the cross, that you were born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the only reason you love Him is because He loved you first and He gave you His Spirit. And now you have the mind of Christ dwelling in you. And spiritual food ought to encourage that mind. If it's encouraging something else, if it's encouraging the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, if it's some sort of a milk that says name it, claim it, if it's a gospel that says your position in life is by your faith to somehow tell the Lord what to do and manipulate the Lord, that's not the sincere milk of the Word. Amen. The sincere milk of the Word lets you know your place. It reminds you how small you are. It reminds you how great He is. And the very essence of the milk itself is that the Lord has, if you want to look at it this way, distilled some of His greatness into such a manner that we can understand it in His gospel. It really is a precious thing to be able to come and partake of. And if sometimes we preachers don't maybe do the best job, pray for us, because it's also a heavy responsibility. So the sincere milk of the Word will encourage the mind of Christ in you. It will be sincere. It will taste of the Lord. And it ought to help you grow. But you know, the Lord said if you would enter into the kingdom, you would become as a little child. You see yourself as small. You see yourself as humble. You see yourself in need. But what if a stubborn babe, you know, wouldn't drink that milk? I mean, is that possible? Well, in an eternal sense, it's not possible for you to miss heaven. If He's loved you, you're one of His, you're going to be with Him someday. But you know, it is possible as a child of God to not lay aside guile, to not lay aside malice, to not lay aside envy, and see yourself as small, and just drink the milk that He's got. It's possible to do that. Lord, help us be faithful. Lord, help us see ourselves as little children and be grateful for what He's given us. You know, I heard that, you know, some kids are just picky eaters. They just won't drink milk. they just won't eat what you give them. You know what? Those folks are not always the healthiest people either. I hate to tell you. I think that if we see ourselves as small before the Lord, we take what He's given us, we're going to grow with it. Would you agree with me? And you know, it might be that if I find myself in the middle of the week, as I often do, being a hypocrite, saying evil things, it might just be that I didn't take as big a slug of that milk on Sunday as I ought to have. Lord, help us drink deeply from that fountain, that everlasting fountain that flows from the very throne of God. It's sweet water. It's sweet milk. And it won't leave a bad taste in your mouth. Thank you for your time. Brother Luke.